Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will actually conclude our study to Abraham, the prophet of Islam, not as how the Muslims and sadly the liberals of the West are trying to teach us that there is nothing wrong with Islam. After all, we all belong to the same tree, the Abrahamic tree, as we have seen in our last broadcast, that Abraham was not a Jew nor a Christian, but Abraham was a Muslim. We'll continue today to dig deep a little bit more to see that it is true that Abraham is the one who set the foundation of Islam, that Abraham is the one who prayed to Allah to bring the promise for the blessed Prophet Muhammad to the whole Muslim world. He did not do any of that for the Jews and the prophets of the Jews, or for the Christians and the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. No, he did that only for Muhammad, for the Muslims, and for Islam. And that's how we know for certain that Abraham was a Muslim prophet, not a Jew or a Christian, as Muslims and the liberals of the West claim. So without further ado, let us look at that which is written in Quran chapter 2, beginning from verse 124. For there we read, "And when Abraham was tested by his Lord with words," excuse me, what? Yes, that's what Allah said in the Quran. And what were these words? Only Allah knows. And how this test ended? Allah only knows. Just set some words in the Quran to make the poetry of the Quran without any message. We do not know in the Bible that God tested Abraham with words, but I believe the Bible is very clear that God tested Abraham with actions. After Abraham sent away Hagar and her son Ishmael, as they got lost in Beersheba, and they went to Egypt, and they lived in Egypt, her home original country, not as we're going to see here in the Quran, the propaganda of Mecca, as Abraham sent Hagar and her son Ishmael to Mecca. God tested Abraham, and the test was to take his son, his only beloved son Isaac, to offer him as a sacrifice on one of the mountains of Moriah. That is the true test of Abraham, not with words, especially when Muslims do not know what these words are. So he, that is Abraham, fulfilled them. Fulfilled what? The words. Which words? The words of the test. What was the test? Well, once again, only Allah knows what was the test. You see how empty and ridiculous the words of Allah in the Quran are? Continue. He said, that is Allah speaking to Abraham, "I am making you an imam." What is the word imam? That is the word a spiritual leader, which belongs only to Islam. Jews do not use the word imam. Christians do not use the word imam, but only Muslims use the word imam. Why did Muhammad pick up that word for the new position of Abraham? It is very simple to let the whole world know that Abraham was a Muslim imam, a Muslim spiritual leader. We continue with the reading of the verse. Allah said what? "I am making you an imam to the people." Which people? The people of the earth, the whole world. No. To the Muslim people. He said, that is Abraham, "And who is my offspring?" Notice that the question is obvious that Muhammad got the whole story wrong. Why? Because if Abraham is asking about who is his offspring, that means he does not have any. And if he does not have any, that means he was not tested. Why? Because the test was about offering his son, the one that was left to him Isaac, whom he loved as a sacrifice. But somehow, here we go back to square one. Abraham is an old man, his wife is an old woman, and they have no children. And if that is the case, why did not Allah call Abraham in that chapter, or as a matter of fact, all over the Quran, by his real name when he did not have any children, which is the name Abram? Not Abraham, but Abram. But obviously Muhammad did not know that. This is obviously new information for our dear Muslim friends who are listening, or to Muhammad himself. He said, Allah answering Abraham's question, my covenant will not be received by the unjust. Wow. So when you have some just people, they will be the one who will receive my covenant. In verse 125, and when we made the house. What house? Oh, the Kaaba. You mean not some Jewish place of worship like a synagogue or a temple? No. Not like a church or some place for Christians to worship? No. We're talking about the Kaaba, one of the great foundations of Islam by which we know that Islam exists. And when we made the house as a resort for people and heaven and take, and that is quotation coming from Allah, from the place of Abraham, a place of prayer. And we made a covenant with Abraham and Ishmael. Where in the world did Ishmael come from? If Abraham is asking, who is my offspring, and he does not have any, how in the world, in the following verse, here we go, Ishmael jump up from the verses of the word of Allah in the Quran. Continuing with the quotation of Allah, that purify my house for those who march around it, and the dwellers, and the kneelers, the worshippers. What are we talking about here? Some Jewish worship? No. Some Christian worship? No. It is the Muslim practice of Hajj, the pillar number 5 in Islam. So the prayer is a Muslim prayer, and the practices of the Hajj, the pilgrimage of Islam, was founded by Allah and Abraham in the Quran, which makes Abraham 100% a true Muslim prophet, not a Jew nor a Christian, as we have shared with you in our last broadcast. And Allah here is asking Abraham to purify his house, that is the mosque, the sacred mosque, place of worship for the Muslim in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. In verse 126, we read, and when Abraham said, my Lord, make this balad, and the word balad is a non-Arabic word which means country, from Latin or Greek origin. Make this country what? Secure, and provide its people from the fruit to those who believe among them in Allah and in the last day. Abraham here is asking Allah to bring security and fruit for the people who live in Mecca, when in reality, it is a desert. There is not too much fruit there except some date trees. All the way until recently. Now maybe the Saudi are seeking the help of the infidels to plant more trees than just palm tree in that land. So Allah did not really answer Abraham's prayer. As for making Mecca a secure place, that is a joke, because that is the place of the shedding of blood. From the days of Muhammad until today, Mecca is like the home base of launching war between Muslims and non-Muslims, and sadly between even Muslims one to another. Here is the answer of Allah. He said, and whoever become an infidel, so I will give him a little enjoyment. Then I will force him into the fire of torment, and evil is the final place. So I do not know why Allah will bless those who become infidels for a while, for a little bit. That's not how the God of the Bible acts with the evil people. When we turn our back against God, we are not blessed. We're not enjoying some blessing from God until we go to hell. That is like Allah is deceiving those who are not truly believing in him by simply giving them some enjoyment. If you got some enjoyment of doing the wrong thing, especially if that enjoyment is coming to you from the God whom you worship, then for sure you will not know that you're doing the wrong thing. But the opposite is true. For we Christians, when we sin against God, the Holy Spirit convicts us, and we go through this time of hardship, for the Lord disciplines us to bring us to repentance, that we will reconcile ourselves once again in a relationship, a strong, true relationship with our God. And we know that those who believe in Christ will not be tormented in hell for eternity, as Muhammad stated in the Quran.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
And here is verse 127. And when Abraham was raising the foundations of the house, and Ishmael, once again, here we see Abraham and Ishmael building the building of the Kaaba, which means they are actually the ones who set up the fifth pillar of Islam. Beside worshiping is to have the fifth pillar, the pillar of the Hajj. And so here is Abraham and Ishmael together building the building of the Kaaba. And here is how they pray to Allah. That is when they said, "Our Lord, accept from us. Surely you are the hearing, the knowing." Oh, Abraham and Ishmael build the Kaaba? When in reality we know from the Bible that neither Abraham nor Ishmael set a foot near Mecca. Ishmael lived between Havilah and Assyria, that is in the northern land of the promised land, Israel. And obviously we know that Ishmael was married to an Egyptian wife. And from the Genesis account, we know where did he live and where did he die and was buried. As we read that in the book of Genesis, chapter 25, verses 17 and 18. Here is what the Bible said, which, by the way, was never mentioned anywhere in the Quran. I'm amazed about the miraculous verses of Allah in the Quran, where Muhammad never mentioned anything about Ishmael. We do not know when he was born, where he was born, who is his mother. We know nothing about Ishmael, but somehow Muhammad was amazingly able to tell us about the building of the Kaaba by Abraham and Ishmael, which is a great evidence that Muhammad simply fabricated that story to insert himself as a descendant of Abraham from Ishmael to be the prophet of Islam. When in reality, Muhammad is not related to Ishmael at all. Ishmael is the father of the Ishmaelites, and Muhammad, if he is an Arab, he is a descendant of the children of Keturah, the wife of Abraham, whom he married after the death of Sarah. Once again, we encourage you to go and read that which is written in Genesis chapter 25. But here we read in verses 17 and 18. These were the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. They dwelt from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt, as you go toward Assyria. He died in the presence of all his brethren. That is not the claim of Muhammad and Muslim scholars about where Ishmael lived and where he died, as he claimed that took place in Mecca. This is not true whatsoever. Back to Quran chapter 2, verse 128, we read, "Our Lord, and make us Muslims to you and among our offspring a Muslim ummah, a Muslim nation. Yes, indeed, that's how we know Abraham was not a Jew nor a Christian, because he prayed to Allah to be a Muslim, and from his descendants he will have a Muslim nation. And how is that? That is, that nation will be the one who believes in Allah and believes in Muhammad, and they submit to Allah alone. And Abraham continued to pray and show us our ritual and relent on us. Surely you are the relenting, the merciful. Yes, indeed, Abraham learned the ritual of Islam from Allah, and he taught it to all the Muslim believers who came after him. Our Lord, in verse 129, Abraham said, raise to them a messenger. Notice here, it is a singular messenger, not messengers in the plural form. So here is the prayer of Abraham, seeking Allah to fulfill a promise to him to bring Muhammad to this world. Once again, our Lord, and raise to them, that is the Muslim nation, a messenger, that is Muhammad, from among them who recites your verses to them. We are talking about the verses of the Quran, continuing, and teaches them the book and the hikmah, which is the word wisdom, non-Arabic word of Aramaic origin, and purify them. These are the Muslims. Surely you are the dear, the wise. That is the end of Abraham and Ishmael's prayer to Allah. And now we know without any doubt that Abraham not only was a Muslim man or a Muslim prophet, but he is actually the one who set the foundation of Islam concerning prayers and the rituals like the performing of Hajj. After all, he is the one who raised the foundation of the Kaaba, and he is the one who prayed to Allah that may Allah send to that nation of Muslims the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, Muhammad. Now let me give you the logical reason why Abraham could not be a Jew nor a Christian. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 3, beginning from verse 65. For there we read, O people of the book, Allah here is speaking to the Jews and the Christians. Why do you dispute about Abraham? Ooh, why you argue about Abraham? Concerning what? Listen carefully. When the Torah and the gospel were not sent down until after him. Do you not understand? You see, the Jews said Abraham was a Jew, and the Christians said Abraham was a Christian, and they dispute with one another about that. And the logical answer from Allah in his word in the Quran, that they both were wrong. Abraham could not be a Jew because he was there before Moses. Abraham could not be a Christian because he was there before Jesus. And if neither the Torah nor the gospel were sent on Moses and Jesus, so how in the world do you believe that Abraham was a Jew or a Christian? You have to have simple understanding from that verse to figure out that Abraham could not be a Jew or a Christian. In verse 66, we read, here you are, those who dispute about that in which you have knowledge, but why do you dispute about that of which you have no knowledge? You're arguing about something you have no idea what it is. And Allah knows and you do not know. Oh, that was a very important piece of information. Yes, Allah knows and the Jews and the Christians do not know. No, trust me. Any simple believer in the Jewish faith or the Christian faith will know much better than Allah can ever know. Here is the final verse. That is verse 67. Abraham was not a Jew nor Nasranian. And the word Nasranian here means to Muhammad a Christian. But he was a Hanifa, a Muslim. And here we must use our logic one more time. Allah in the Quran is telling us that Abraham could not be a Jew because Moses came after Abraham and the Torah was given to Moses after Abraham. Therefore, Abraham could not be a Jew. That is wonderful. That is very logical. Abraham could not be a Christian because Jesus came years and years after Abraham, and the gospel of Jesus was given to Jesus years and years after Abraham. So Abraham obviously did not have access to the gospel or to Jesus. Therefore, he could not be a Christian. But somehow, Somehow the logic of Allah, or what we can say the foolishness of the Quran, is that Abraham was a Muslim. Why is that? Because he was just a Muslim. But wait a minute, I thought Muhammad came years and years after Moses and Jesus. Therefore, we can also come to the conclusion that Abraham did not have any access to Muhammad nor to his Quran, and therefore he could not be a Muslim. After all, Moses was 400 years after Abraham. Jesus was 1800 years after Abraham. But Muhammad was 2400 years after Abraham. So if Abraham could not be a Jew because he was born before Moses, and Abraham could not be a Christian because he was born before Jesus, then how in the world Abraham could be a Muslim when Muhammad came 600 years after Jesus and 2400 years after Moses? Does this make any sense to any Muslim? But since Allah said it in the Quran, therefore it must be true. Verse 67 of Quran chapter 3 ended by, "And he," that is Abraham, "was not of the polytheists." And once again, polytheists, those who worship other objects with Allah. And that is exactly what Abraham did when he worshiped the star, the moon, and the sun, as we have shown that in our last broadcast. Then finally, in verse 68, we read, "Surely the most worthy people to Abraham are those who followed him," that is Abraham, "and this prophet." What prophet are we talking about? We're talking about Prophet Muhammad. "And those who believed, and Allah is the friend of the believers." Yes, indeed. Abraham is more worthy to be tied to Muhammad than Moses or Jesus. Somehow, if Allah said it, it must be the truth. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.